This morning I'll be speaking out of Isaiah chapter 64, 1 through 5, a part of verse 5, and hopefully a week or so down the road I'll finish this chapter, which are 12 verses in this chapter. But this morning the title of this is Prayer for God's Deliverance. So follow along with me, and I'll give you kind of an introduction to what Isaiah's talking about here in this particular chapter. And it starts with Isaiah saying, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. For from the days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness, who remembers you in your ways." You know, I read about God coming down off the mountain. Sandy just sang God on the mountain. How unique, wasn't it? How this falls together with our music and our ministries and how the Word of God makes everything just so awesome. And it comes together in a setting like we have this morning. And when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, it is a prayer for God's deliverance. And we need to be praying for God's deliverance each day in our lives. Maybe something personal in your life that you need to be delivered from. It's our nation. A lot of things in our nation, we need prayer for deliverance. The things that are not always right. And here we see Isaiah is pleading to God with a prayer for the power of God to come back down and kind of take over their situation where maybe they have drifted away. They haven't made God the center of their life. And sometimes that happens in our lives. It happens in the church. It happens in our lives as individuals. So Isaiah appeals to God, because unless God doesn't come down, the people will not return. And the people are so distant from God, they will not even return without God's presence coming in power. And we know that God's all-powerful, He's sovereign, He's all-knowing, and it is our responsibility to call upon God and pray for one another, pray for our nation, to pray for situations that's out of our control but not His. So this prayer reveals the hope of the church as well. It brings a solution for her many ailments. So if God's people will confess their sins and turn to Him, He will rescue them from their tragic condition. And that's what Isaiah is praying for here for the nation of Israel. So this morning, let us see how God intervenes for those who in righteousness wait for Him. So first of all, as we look at the prayer for God's mighty presence, verses 1 through 3. So Isaiah, and I call it his fervent prayer, his plea for the revealed presence of God. And it begins here in verse 1. He is praying for His presence to be revealed, to come off of the mountain, come to their rescue. And that's why it says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down that the mountains might quake at your presence. Now, looking at the word rend and heaven and come down, having already called on God to see how bad the situation is, if you go back to chapter 63, verse 15, Isaiah now pleads for God to come down and shatter their serious situation, to take care of it, to do away with it, and to tear apart whatever barrier is separating them from their enemies and things like that. So Isaiah said, come down and shake the mountains, most solid foundations of the earth. Shake it good. Come down and deliver us. So it says, Isaiah is asking. This is his plea. Why have you let the situation get so desperate? Why have you not already intervened? Now, God has a lot of patience. Sometimes God waits to see where we are and how we're going to respond or how we're going to get out of our situation ourselves sometimes. But he wants us to depend upon him, and Isaiah is pleading with God, and Isaiah is confident in God's deliverance. But he still prays, he still believes, he still has faith, but he still has questions. A lot of times in our lives we have questions. We pray, why? Why, Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? And sometimes we got to get out of the way and let God's will be done and trust him. He's always on time. He's never late. He's always on time in answering our prayer. Might be yes, maybe no, it might be wait. So he was saying, in verse 2, as we look, as Isaiah gives a manner and effect which he wants the Lord to come down. And this is how he says it. As fire kindles a brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. He's going to put fear in them, isn't he? God, put fear in these people. Put fear in these enemies. Now, God manifests presence is so intense that it is like consuming fire that burns everything in its path. So Isaiah advised the Lord, make your name known by making the mountains shake and the nations tremble. Throughout the scriptures, we know that God made himself known through fire or smoke, earthquakes, or different things to let people know his power, his awesome power, but yet his sovereign love. And here, Isaiah said, reveal your nature to nations by the wonders of your presence. And that's what Isaiah was asking for here in this particular text. So throughout the Bible, beginning at Genesis, Exodus, even in the New Testament, Acts and Revelation, fire is closely associated with the presence of God. It is closely associated. So if God were to come down among us and apply his fire to our unclean lips, our hardened heart, as he had in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah cried out, holy, 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 God Almighty. The trash of our lives would be consumed in flames, and the lukewarm water of our souls would burst into a roaring ball. And that's what Isaiah started right here in this particular scripture. So the result would be that God's adversary, those who had trampled down his worship, going back to chapter 63, verse 18, would realize his name, who he truly is. And when they realize who God is, then Isaiah said, they will tremble. They will be fearful. They will reverence you, respect you as the true and only God. Now, in verse 3, Isaiah relays to God that their plea is not beyond him, that he has done it before when he was separating out the people for their own possession. When it says, when you did awesome things which we did not expect. Have you ever not expected something? God did it, you didn't expect it.
Amen.
It's awesome, isn't it? I can look back to all of my years praying and asking God for certain things in my life, or delivering certain things in my life, or helping me in situations and so forth. And then I can just see it happen right before my eyes. And I said, man, this is awesome. I didn't expect you to respond this way, but it's a lot better than what I expected. Thank you, God. And such a peace that comes over your heart, over your life, when you see God working that way. He cares, and he wants us to realize that he's always at work in our lives. So Isaiah wanted God to act as he had in the past. He said, God, you've done awesome and things in the past. Do those things now. And Isaiah was recalling God's appearance at Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19. Isaiah longed for a repeat performance. How many of you have enjoyed something so much you'd like a repeat? Or somebody played something on a piano or something like that. You say, encore, encore. And they come back and play some more. Well, that's what Isaiah is saying. Give us a repeat. Let us see that performance. Let us see your miraculous works. Let your enemies, our enemies, see your powerful hand at work. And Isaiah longed for a repeat performance. When God met Moses, there was lightning, flashing, rolling thunder, bellowing smoke, earthquake. Such miraculous events would get man's attention. You know, if we just spend time with God in his word, and when we pray, he can get your attention that way, can he? We don't have to have signs and wonders always. But in desperate times in our lives, we want to see something like that. We want to see God's work in such a way that we can recognize. We know definitely that's the hand of God. So if God were to meet with us today, his glory and his holiness would overwhelm us, wouldn't it? If something like he was on Mount Sinai like Moses, and God's presence was made known, Moses was beside himself. He couldn't look directly at God. And of course, if he did, he would have died. Can't look at God and live according to what the scriptures were saying. But when we look at that way, it will happen when Christ comes again. You think about that. Matthew chapter 24. If you have time to read about the things that are going to be taking place right before Christ comes, read chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. And it's going to tell us everything that's going to be happening when Christ comes back again. And don't let Christ's return get you off guard. Don't let the world mislead you on the things that are coming when Christ comes again. See, in 42, chapter 42, verse 9, it says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Now, many of us can remember a situation when God acted in an amazing way, like Isaiah. And we want God to do something again. And we, know, we welcome him to show us his glory. But perhaps he has something else in mind. And as we celebrate God's humble descent to earth, be aware that he came to change our hearts. He will come to change our heart. He won't be coming to change our circumstances. And God answers to our prayers may exceed our expectations. So, which leads me to honoring the plea of the righteous, verses 4 through 5. In verse 4, it reveals that God's past actions have taught that there is no God like our God. There's no other God like our God. Verse 4 says, "For from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him." Can you understand Isaiah's emotions here? Isaiah wants us to think about what human experience can disclose to us about the only God who has revealed himself to mankind. These experiences are evidence that God is ready to help. And he is the only God who can be trusted. And he is the only one who will act on behalf of those who wait for him. In Isaiah 40:31, which is one of my favorite verses, "Those who wait upon the Lord will do what? Regain their strength, they will mount up like wings of eagles." And you see, God has everything in preparation before our needs begin. You think about that. You know, before we think about what our needs are, or what we need to pray about, God is already has all these things in motion. He's ready to act upon them. And all we have to do is ask him from our heart and be honest about it. So, before our prayers are presented, he has prepared his answers to them. "Blessed be the name of the Lord who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." And do you remember how Paul used this same passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9 when he says, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Give that much thought. I often think about that. And people ask me about it. They ask me about these very things, about things of heaven, things that we don't really truly understand. You know, there's more spoken about the things of hell in the Bible than there are the things of heaven. But can you imagine Paul going up to the third heaven, which is heaven itself? There's three heavens: earth, the upper layer in the universe, and then heaven. So we can't even comprehend some of the things just here on earth or in the second heaven, the universe and so forth. But to think about what God is preparing for those who love him, who are waiting for his appearance. And why doesn't God speak more to us about that? Well, because we couldn't comprehend it, I don't think. We know it's going to be beautiful. Just read Revelation starting around chapter 21 and 22. It's going to be wonderful. But God reveals heavenly concepts to us as we walk in the Spirit. That's the way I view it. That's the way I look at it. He reveals heavenly concepts to us as we walk with him. We can see it. We can visualize it through the Scripture. See, the spiritual man is a privileged human being. We have all the ins and outs of the scriptures and what heaven's going to be like. And you know, what makes it so wonderful is that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is there. He's there, intervening for us, praying for us daily. So if you're living, you know, put it in this worldly frame of mind or thinking, if you're living for your job, your fame, your possessions, or even your family, you miss out on God's life and what He has for you both now and eternally. But if, like Isaiah here, Paul, you set your heart on heaven and you have an abundant life like earth thrown in. Looking at it in that perspective. So if, like Isaiah, we would just say, Lord, we are looking and waiting for that which you have stored for us in heaven. And see, you will not only end up there, but you will enjoy life as well. So if you're living for your job or your bank account or your possession, you'll miss both life in heaven and the abundant life on earth. Certainly will have less of both, if that's the way you and I think. But the first part of verse 5 indicates that our waiting is not passive, but we are to act in righteousness. You see, you meet Him who rejoices in doing righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. Now, in conclusion, this morning, we are to be actively waiting on the Lord. Isaiah here, he was patient, but he was kind of aggressive in his asking the Lord to come down. We need you right now. But if we are to be actively waiting on the Lord, we are to become a people of joy who involve ourselves in righteousness, in our righteous living, in doing the right thing. So we are to remember the way of the Lord and all He has done for us. Every day, you think about this week being Thanksgiving. Think about all the things that God has blessed you with. Your family, your home, your nation. All of the things that you enjoy. The Word of God. The privilege of reading and studying His Word. The privilege of going to Him in prayer and meeting your needs. So, the way of the Lord is the way of integrity, honesty, faithfulness, mercy, and generosity and self-denial. So the person whose life does not live out these virtues may be waiting, but he or she is not waiting on the Lord. So we ought to live according to the ways of God. Joyfully, doing righteousness, expectantly, waiting upon Him, and sooner than you might think. You will be regularly meeting with the one who one day will soon meet with you. What a wonderful passage and scripture that Isaiah is painting the picture of now and in the future. How God is presently making Himself known through His work and His Word, as we look together and pray for his coming one of these days, for all the things that He does in our life. What a wonderful experience praying for God and asking for His deliverance in our lives each day. What a wonderful, wonderful time of this year, thinking about Thanksgiving and the things that we've experienced throughout this year. The hard times, the difficult times, the virus and things like that, but still the presence of God in our life each day, knowing that we can pray and we can see His mighty presence working in our lives. Coming together and sharing those experiences with one another. That's the joy of the Lord in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You that we have Your Word that gives us Your insights, that gives us all the things that we need to know about You and how we can deal with circumstances in life. And Isaiah, as he poured out his heart to You, he desired Your presence. He desired Your deliverance. And Lord, in our lives, we need You each day, every day. No matter where we go or what we're doing, we need to know that when we pray, that You hear us. Wherever we go, You go with us. And whenever we come back, You come back with us. So no matter where we go, whatever we're doing, You're always present. And that's what we like to know. We like to know the peace that passes all understanding. We like to know that we're within Your will. And as I look into the scriptures this day, Lord, it speaks to each and every one of us in the areas of our life that needs to be committed and more committed to You. I just pray this morning that those listening or and those here present this morning can feel the love, can feel that they are a part of something much greater than what we're experiencing today. That's where our joy comes from, is knowing You. And knowing we have a place with You one of these days. And we lift up all of the ones that have lost loved ones this week. And Lord, we know that we do have a place, and You prepare for us one of these days. And we thank You, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know or not sure where they'll spend eternity, they can know. Lord, we praise You. We thank You for Your unconditional love. We thank You for all that You do in our lives. And thank You for Your presence here in this place this morning. Thank You for Your cleansing. Thank You for Your grace and mercy. We praise You. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.